نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Most respected elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This time after Zuhr is scheduled to talk about the lives of the Sahaba and biography of the various Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, before the Zuhr program, we had a program, stories from the Quran, and today we discussed about Hakim, Luqman. There were some points that were left out there, and I thought I should first finish that, and inshallah tonight we'll continue with the biography of the lives of the Sahaba. In our next session on the lives of the Sahaba, inshallah, we'll be talking about an amazing father and an amazing son. Hazrat Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That we will do it tonight after the Taraweeh program or before the Zikr program, inshallah. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. Most definitely, we have granted Luqman hikmat, wisdom. And as I've explained, a very appropriate definition of wisdom is to do or to say the right thing the right time. At times, we do the right thing but the wrong time. At times, we say the right thing the wrong time. But to be bestowed with that wisdom, to understand when to do the right thing the right time or say the right thing the right time, that is guidance from the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and that is called hikmat, that is called wisdom. Where do you achieve that from? One of the advisors of Hakim Luqman is, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. Follow the path of those people. He tells to his son, father is advising to his son, you want wisdom, you want peace and happiness in life, you want to enjoy a wholesome life, follow the path of those people that turn towards me, that make inabat to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We as human beings, we get affected with the environment around us. When it is hot, we feel hot. When it is cold, we feel cold and we wear our extra garments. Human beings by nature are stealthy. We get affected with the environment around us. If somebody says something that makes you happy, you get happy. Find expression of happiness on your face. If somebody has to say something that is upsetting, most definitely you find signs of displeasure on your face. As human beings, we are stealthy and we get affected with our environment. We get affected with the people that are around us. This is human nature. And it is for that reason, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had advice, Al-mar'u ala deedi khalili, falyanzur may yukhalil. A person, he is on the path of his friend. What is friend's character is, what his friend's conduct is, how the friend speaks, depending on what a strong personality he is, and how his character and conduct rub onto you, you'll also carry the same color. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi advised that be careful, see who you befriend. Because who you are befriending, that person's character, conduct, personality may have an effect on you. And you may start thinking like him. You may start talking like him. You may start dealing with him. And you can't just allow any foreign substance to come into you. You're going to be very careful. Your body is different. When you're eating food, you're going to be careful that what you eat, especially if you've got stomach-related problems, you're not going to allow any foreign food to come into you to upset you. The same goes with your spirituality. The same goes with your relationship with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. You have to be guarded. You have to be careful who you befriend, who you talk to, and who you associate yourself with. Hakim Luqman advised his son, same thing, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. Lead your life in such a way where you attach yourself, you follow the path of those people that follow my path. People that turn towards me, people who are known to be the Ahlullah, people that are known to be pious, they're always Allah conscious. They think like how Allah wants them to think. They do what Allah wants them to do. And when you associate yourself with those people, you'll start thinking like them as well. You'll start doing the same thing that they do. If they have Allah consciousness in them, and you observe that, you'll also become Allah conscious. In how you deal with your family, in how you deal with your business, how you deal with people, you'll also become conscious of that. You will see that the person is coming to a salah, he's so conscious of salah, that will also rub onto you, and you'll also become a namazi. You see that person, your friend, is conscious of reciting the Quran. You see your friend, that he's making a dhikr of Allah, and you can see the impact in his life. You compare your life with his life, you see that how close he is to Allah, he's enjoying a wholesome life, he's content, he's happy. Why am I not happy? Why am I not content? Something is wrong with me. You associate yourself, you go on the path of your friend who turns towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is similar to what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran al-Kareem. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Oh, you who believe, create Allah consciousness in you. Fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This fear for Allah is not a fear like how a person fright for a lion. It is that respect that the person has because of the greatness and grandeur of someone. Allah is so great, Allah is so mighty. And in your heart, you have that consciousness of the greatness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And you dare violate any law of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The higher your level of Allah consciousness, the greater your obedience for Allah. And how you achieve that? وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be in the company of the truthful ones. The truthful ones are those that make inabat to Allah. Turn to Allah. Their entire life is governed according to orders of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayh, in explaining this verse, he says, خَالِتُوهُمْ لِتَكُونُوا مِثْلَهُمْ. Associate yourself with the pious people. Not just being with them for the sake of being with them, but to take from them, to draw from them, so that you too could become just like them. Allama Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, in explaining this, he says, مُجَالَسَةُ الْحَرِيسِ وَمُخَالَتُهُ يَحْرُسُ الْحِرْسِ وَمُجَالَسَةُ الزَّاهِدِ وَمُخَالَتَتُهُ يَحْرُسُ الزُّهْدِ. If you stay and associate yourself with a greedy person, a person that only got the desire for this world, all the time you see, he's talking about some investment scheme, he's talking about buying a property, he's talking about the expensive cars, he's talking about a business, he's talking about loaning money to someone, he's talking about always increasing his fortune. All the time he's talking about that, you think to yourself, I'm missing out on something. I need to become like that too. And then he says that if a person sits in the company of a zahid, he doesn't care about the world. He's living his life, but he doesn't care about the world. There's abstinence in him. He's content with what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given him. He is given priority to his life to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, to get close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. You stay in the company of such a person, that attitude, that color will now show onto you. Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullah alayh, he quotes one hadith wherein Nabi Kareem s.a.w. mentioned, Al-aynu haqqun. The eye is true. The effect of the eye. Sometimes you say that the person looks like he's got a bad eye. He got affected with a bad eye. Nazar came unto him. And effort is made to remove the effect of the nazar. That is true. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did mention it. But on that point, Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullah Alayhi says that if the eye could have a bad effect, the people who are close to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, the Arifin, فَإِنَّ عَيْنَ الْعَارِفِينَ زِدُّ ذَلِكَ. The eyes of the arifin, the eyes of those people that are close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, their eyes are different. And then he explains, يَجْعَلُ الْجَاهِلْ عَالِمًا وَيَجْعَلُ الْفَاسِقُ صَالِحًا. When you stay in the company of pious people, be always worried about the relationship, the bond with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Over a period of time, they will say so many things that if you didn't know, now you'll start knowing. And they say, they conduct themselves in such a way that you start changing your life. You realize that you are the wrong path. If you were a transgressor of the Shariat, now you become salih, you become a nek and pious person. In order to understand the effect of a company, what a company can do to a people, and where it can take a person to. See, Allah Ta'ala gives us the incident about the people of the cave. Ashabul Kahf, those youngsters who took refuge in the cave to protect the iman and not to commit kufr and shirk at that time. With them was a dog. It's a dog. A dog is impure. If your dog licks you, then you have to wash yourself. According to other schools of thought, 7 times. According to Hanafi school of thought, 3 times. So impure is a dog. A dog is with those people that are attached with iman. Allah, if that dog, because of the company of being in those pious people, Allah valued that company of the dog with the pious people, Allah mentions it in the Quran Kareem. And among animals that will be going to be in Jannat, one will also be the dog that was in the company of those young people. If a dog can qualify for that status, if a dog can qualify for that status, being in the company of pious people, appreciated by Allah, why not then we staying in the company of the pious people won't be appreciated by Allah? If Allah can give a dog something, can't Allah give us? That is why it's very important for us to adopt the company of the sulaha, adopt the company of the pious people, and they will direct, navigate our life to the objective of our life. We are created to worship Allah. We are created to get close to Allah, build a bond with Allah, to meet Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with the qalb and salim, with a pure heart. This was the attitude of our pious elders. Irrespective of how great they were in their knowledge, they found somebody, they identified someone who they could seek spiritual guidance from. See, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, we just spoke about him. What a great personality. Ocean of knowledge. Giant in knowledge. He's an imam. Expert in the Quran, hadith and everything. Yet, he found one is knowledge and one is that spiritual link up with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi linked himself with Imam Ja'far Sadiq. Was from the Ahl Bayt, from the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for spiritual guidance. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, what a great imam. He went against the political situation of the time or the government of the time because of an academic view regarding the Quran Kareem. Such a great imam. When he passed away, 25,000 non-Muslims just saw the janaza and they accepted Islam. Yet he was the person, Ja'far Sadiq, there was a Sufi and a spiritual guide at that time. Abu Hashim rahmatullah alayhi, he linked himself with that. Among our elders, Hadha Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi. Such a learned person, he mentioned that he is the Imam Abu Hanifa of our time. Such great knowledge, in-depth knowledge he had. What need was there for him to link himself with Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah alayhi? So somebody asked him, that Haji Sahib is not as learned as you. What did you link yourself up with him for? Allah blessed you with so much of knowledge. He said, in the course of my studies, I learned the name of certain fruits. I learned the name of certain sweet meats. For example, taqwa is a sweet meat. I learned about zuhud and abstinence. I learned about patience. I learned about courage. But when I linked myself with Haji Imdadullah, I started tasting all these sweetmeats. You stay in the company of the pious people, you get the reality and you get the real effect of what is practicing on Shariat all about. One is to identify a pious person. You see, in work, you're working somewhere, you work under a manager. Why is that so? You're not left free. The day your manager don't come to work, see if you work, perform like him. You work under a supervisor. And the day your supervisor don't come, you think to yourself, it's holiday today. You have a good time. And let your manager be there watching you. Let your supervisor be there watching you. See your performance. And the more harsh he is, the greater your performance is going to be. When that is human nature, you need somebody above you. You need somebody to guide you. You need somebody to make you do take all the best out of you. The same also comes with spiritual guidance. Don't keep yourself free. Yes, you're performing your salah. You're making your tilawat. But there's much more than that. Now you need to link yourself with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. There are certain pearls in the heart of the Ahlullah, in the pious people. You need to be with them, attach yourself with them, and take out the hidden pearl from them, and put it, plant it in yourself, so that you also grow within yourself, and link yourself with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. One is, you identify a pious person, and you don't necessarily need to take bayat, just have a bond with that person, and tell him to supervise you. Tell him to lead, to attempt to help you, assist you, and guide you. That is one way of doing it. And this is something that you should do. You should not delay in that. Second, identify the books, biographies of our pious elders. Great ulama, pious people, get those books. And every day take out 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Just read something about their lives. At least you'll have an idea how they lived. And as you're getting older, you'll think to yourself, that's how they lived. And they reached for the goalpost. They made effort to be successful. What am I doing? It's going to jolt you. It's going to motivate you now to do something and now to work towards your objective and your final goal. Brothers, we are getting older. We're going towards our qabr. We're going towards the akhirat. How long are we going to lead an independent life thinking that I'll be successful at the end of the day? What if the time comes, na'uzubillah, I was unsuccessful? Na'uzubillah, I'm unsuccessful. We need to fright. We need to fear. We've got a big journey. We've got a very big bridge to cross. And we need to be very, very sincere. And we need to be honest to our own self. That where is my journey? I'm taking a plane to go to Dubai. I'm taking a plane to go to Makkah and Medina. And I go to the airport. I don't have my passport with me. I'll never be able to jump on the plane. I haven't followed the procedure. How do we expect to jump into Jannah without following the procedure? We need to be serious about it and we need to understand. Brothers, in conclusion, what is the benefit of linking ourselves with the pious people? I just present to you 2 anecdotes. You know, the Italian people, they are known for the pattern and the design. And Chinese people, they are known for copying. So there was a debate once between the Chinese people and the Italian people that who are better builders. Chinese people told that they are better. Italian people said that they are better. So a matter went for judgment. So a judge identified a place, put a barrier between and told the Chinese people, you all put up your building, told the Italian people, you all put up your building. Italian people, they put up a beautiful, magnificent building. With the latest pattern and design that you can think of. Chinese people, they put up a straightforward, simple glass building. The barrier was removed. When the time came for issuing the judgment, the barrier was removed from in between. Now, the pattern and the design of the Italian people reflected on the windows of the Chinese people. Chinese people, they just made a simple building, but with glass. And it reflected on that. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi, he presents this beautiful example. He says that we stay in the company of the Ahlullah. Your heart is open. Your heart is clean. You really want to benefit from them. And if your heart is like the heart of the building, of the glass building of the Chinese people, then the magnificent design, artwork that's in the heart of the Ahlullah is also going to reflect in your heart. There was once a debate between the compartment, the train, the first class and the third class. Especially in India, you get the first class, you get the third class. The first class, normally it has an AC, soft seats, you pay a higher price, and depending which train it is, then you get people even to serve you. You enjoy a comfortable ride till the end of your journey. You can sleep away comfortably and wake up upon reaching your journey. In the third class, no AC, hard seats, they're probably normally cramped up, and you probably might not get a place to sit, you may probably just have to stand. Very difficult. So there was a debate once between the first class and the third class. The first class told to a third class, you know, me, I'm more superior than you. Because see, in me, I've got the AC, I've got the soft seat. And only the rich and wealthy, they come into me, and I enjoy that superiority. What do you have? You hardly got an AC, your seats are hard. And only the poor people who can't manage, they come and sit in you. The third class told to a first class, what you are saying is 100% true and correct. Indeed, you are more superior, but there's one common thing between you and I. The third class is also linked up with the same train to the first class, and where the first class going to reach the final destination, the third class also going to reach the same destination. With that, we link ourselves with the Ahlullah. We can't become like them. But maybe, inshallah, when they are successful in the Akhirat, by virtue of link with them, we may also be successful in the Akhirat. Allah grant us tawfiq, Allah grant us hidayat, to understand the importance of it. We took our time to come and spend time in i'tikaf, to bond ourselves to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We should not confine it to that. Take it now to a next level and use this as a training exercise, learning exercise, and time for us to reflect, for us to ponder that where am I supposed to go from here? Is my spiritual level confined only for me in the last 10 days of Ramadan? And am I not supposed to do something after that? Eid is going to come, but the real Eid is actually when we are successful in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.